As I mentioned before, we are going to be studying Simeon's song of praise at the birth of the Christ child, which comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 29 to 32. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentile and for glory to your people Israel. Pastor Bernthal did Mary's Magnificat last week, I believe. My brother David will be doing the Nunc Dimittis. Nope, this is the Nunc Dimittis. The Benedictus next week. And in these three songs that we're studying, three songs of praise, we see three very different people and three very different types of faith. Recently, Vanessa and I bought a new car, and David just bought a car maybe a little bit ago, a year ago or something. And so we were arguing, you know, which car is better, the Honda CR-V versus the Subaru Forester. So here we get a chance to argue a little bit over which song is better. And I'm here today to tell you why the Nunc Dimittis is better. I'm sure David will tell you the opposite next week, but I'm older, so I'm right. As I said, three very different people, three very different faiths. Last week you saw Mary's Magnificat, and you saw the young, the energetic woman rejoicing. And I think that was even Pastor Brunthal's theme. How Mary teaches us how to rejoice in the coming of the Christ child. Very appropriate for a young girl. But now we have the older man who's been waiting his whole life. And it's a very different sense you get. There's still that joy, but it's a more mature joy, a joy that has waited and is now fulfilled and is now ready to go to death in peace. And that's what he says. Now, Lord, I can depart in peace. A faith that is ready to die. That's a pretty strong faith. That's a pretty deep faith. It's a very difficult thing for humans even to accept death. It's something we'll all have to go through, probably. Well, some of us might not have to. We might just die and not know what's coming. But for the most of us, at some point in our life, we're going to have to accept my death is coming shortly. And just that acceptance is very difficult. But Simeon goes beyond that. He's not just accepting it as inevitable. He's rejoicing in it and looking forward to it. Now I can die in peace, O Lord. Where does he get that faith that allows him to look forward with such joy to his upcoming death? Well, he tells us himself, why? Because I have seen your salvation. Now, certainly a large part of what he's talking about there is the fact that he's holding in his hands that promise, that Christ child, that one thing that all of Israel, and he in particular, had been waiting for so long. And here was the fulfillment of that promise that God had given to him and to everyone else as well. But it goes much deeper than that. It goes far beyond that, because he says, the salvation which you have prepared before the face of all nations. Now, it's true that some people knew about the Christ child, a few shepherds and a few wise men, but for the most part, it was this lowly baby born in out-of-the-way Bethlehem, born in a manger. No one really knew about him. Simeon's not talking about that child then when he says that you have prepared before the face of all the nations. He's talking about everything God had done up to that point, as he says, to prepare for the coming of that Christ child. All the things that we read about in the Old Testament, and I believe Pastor Brunthal is going through Old Testament stories of some of the wonderful things that God did in your Sunday sermons. So you've probably heard a few of those stories just recently, and will a few more in the upcoming Sundays. I mean, you think back about all the mighty works God did and how he did not do them in obscurity, did he? You think of the creation of the world. You think of the flood. You think of the Tower of Babel. You think of the destruction of Pharaoh and his army and opening the Red Sea and leading the people through the wilderness and establishing the kingdom in a land where, in a land and against a people that they never could have conquered on their own, a strong, mighty land filled with giants. The Israelites were afraid to enter because they knew we cannot win against these people, and yet the Lord led them through in victory and raising up David and bringing them back from Babylon and so many more things that you can think of through the years that God did and showed to all the nations very clearly so that no one was had any excuse to doubt that he was the true God. The evidence was plain. They had all seen it time and time again. And that's what Simeon's talking about. You have not hidden your preparations and your glory and your might. You have openly displayed that you are God in front of all the nations. And more than that, you have openly displayed that you are a God who fulfills your promises. What is the basis of faith? Many people in the world out there think that faith is just blind trust in, you know, some name that you find in a book. That's not true. Faith is built on a history of God fulfilling his promises over and over and over again and showing thereby that we can trust him. That's what faith is, trust in God, that he will fulfill his promises. And so, yes, the culmination of those promises, Simeon is holding right there in his hands in our text. But that was the final one. That wasn't what started his faith. It was the final seal on it, yes, but it was the culmination of so many more things that he had seen through his scripture reading, all the things God had done for Israel, and in his own life, that here is a God who is true God and whom he can trust and believe in. How can we have, like Simeon, faith that is ready to die? I doubt that many of us will be able to quite rise to Simeon's level when we first get the news. You have 3 months to live or whatever. You have cancer, whatever it is. There's too much sin inside of us. There's too much the knowledge of who we really are, and therefore there's too much of that correct fear of God and the punishment that we deserve for us to be 100% joyful and comfortable with the idea of going through death and meeting the Lord. But when that time does come, I hope you look back on this day, not this day, but this day in our text, and remember who it was that Simeon held there in his arms, the culmination of all the Lord's promises, and what it was that Christ child came to do to save us from our sin and step through death, knowing that what you're going to find on the other side is far better than what we have here because of God's forgiveness. So Simeon shows a great faith in his readiness to die, but he shows an even greater faith in his readiness and willingness to serve the Lord every day of his life. When I was studying this text and I looked at the Greek, there was one thing that stood out, and that was the Greek word for Lord. 99 out of 100 times when you have the word Lord in English and you look in the Greek, you're going to see the word Kyrios. But Simeon doesn't use that word. Instead, he uses the word despota, which is where we get our English word despot, but it doesn't have the negative connotations in Greek that we think of. The difference between Kyrios and Despota in the Greek is the difference between the king, the lord, who rules but at a distance. You know, he's your master, he's your ruler, but he's out there. You don't see him. Maybe you bow down once in a while when he drives through the city, but you don't really have a personal relationship with him. But Despota is the master of your house, whom you serve daily. You see him every day. You talk to him every day. You get your instructions from him every day. There's an intimate connection there. And that's the word that Simeon uses. Master. Lord. And by using that word, he shows us a faith that has served the Lord intimately, talked to the Lord, read the scriptures, had conversations with the Lord intimately every day of his life. That idea of serving a master is anathema to our society, isn't it? We're a society built on the idea of freedom. We will serve no man. And if anyone tries to make us, then we have the right to rebel. But everyone should be free to do his own thing. And yet Simeon not only serves a master, but rejoices in that service. He wants this to be his life and has chosen it and is grateful for it. Why? Again, he tells us, because he is the light to all the nations. A light to the Gentiles. A light to all the nations. That phrase reflects the fact that in God's word, Simeon finds truth. He finds that something worth serving and something that he's willing to give his life for. We just got done with a particularly contentious... election. Last week it was worse. Last week I couldn't remember Sherm's name. Felt really bad about that. Sit there for a second. We just got done with a particularly contentious election. And a lot of people have strong feelings of hatred, of love, of yay, this guy, or yay, that girl, or whatever. And many people were willing to give a lot of their time and the service to one or other of the candidates, thinking that they would be making a better America and be doing something worthwhile with their life. But how many of them are going to be disappointed in the end? How many of them are going to have to redo the same process in another 4 years? Whatever you think of our presidential candidates, it doesn't matter. Because we have a candidate who we don't have to worry if we're going to be disappointed in the end. We don't have to say, okay, maybe he's not the best, but he's the best option we've got at the moment. This is a man who is a light to all the nations, Simeon says. He is a man worth serving, and his kingdom is something that's worth working for and building up. Because it's a kingdom that will not end. It's a kingdom that will endure forever. It's a kingdom of righteousness. It's a kingdom of justice. It's the only thing worth working for